If you want to follow this message in your Bibles, you can turn to 1 John chapter 2. Now, I'm not going to read our text from that until the end of the message. Going to do things a little differently this week. You'll find message notes by clicking on the media tab, either on the Bayside Church app or website. And of course, as always, on those message notes, some discussion, questions, and some further reading and study, either to do on your own or in your connect groups or with some friends. This is part two of the second series on becoming like Jesus. And the title of the message is Look at Me. And I've based this series, as well as the first series on becoming like Jesus, on the second part of our vision statement, which is to empower people to become like Jesus. And so our question here is, what is Jesus like? So to become like Jesus, I actually need to be able to look at Jesus and know what he's like. Last week, I talked about God con carne, that Jesus is actually God con carne. He is God with flesh, based on the Latin word incarnare, which means to make flesh, and the incarnation, which is what we celebrate at Christmas time, when God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we call him Emmanuel, that is, God is with us. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the Word, the expression of God, became flesh, made his dwelling among us. I love the Message version of this, the Message Bible. It says, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus is our next door neighbor. Now God lives among us. In verse 18 of John 1, no one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. And so in Jesus, we know what God is really like. Not what people thought he was like, not the impressions that they, oh, I think God's like this, and related God in some way to their culture. As we looked at last week, God was kind of happy to go along with some of those things, but constantly nudged people closer and closer to the truth. And so what we see in Jesus is what God is actually like. In John chapter 1, verse 17, it tells us that for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus introduces us to a revelation of God that is different. Moses brought in the law, the do's and the don'ts, the legalistic aspects, but that was like a schoolmaster or a tutor, Paul says in Galatians, that was constantly showing us or leading us to Jesus Christ. Jesus brought in something different to Moses. Jesus didn't come in to bring in lots of rules and regulations. In fact, he boiled them all down to one thing. He said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do that, you actually fulfill the entire law. And so Jesus introduces us to something so different to what Moses introduced us. He introduces us to unfailing love and faithfulness. Unfailing love is literally kindness. It's the giving of himself toward other people. And the fact that Jesus is always leaning into people toward them to bless them. As you read through the Gospels, this is what we constantly see. Jesus being kind, except to the religious hypocrites. He had a strong word to say to them, but to everybody else, and particularly those that religion left out, we find Jesus being kind. He's constantly looking for opportunities to be a blessing. He's leaning into people to be a blessing to them. And so Jesus shows us unfailing love and faithfulness. That means to constantly express truth in life. And so Jesus is truth in a body. He is literally the Word, the truth of God made flesh. Jesus was truth walking around, interacting with people. And so that same truth then becomes a dominant theme of the New Testament scriptures. And for the next few minutes, I'm going to take you through some of the highlights of the New Testament that talk about this aspect of Jesus being truth in human form. In John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus is having a discussion with the disciples. Philip says to him, show us the Father. And Jesus kind of shakes his head. You know, he's been with these guys for over 3 years now. He says, Philip, don't you still understand? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. It doesn't mean that Jesus and the Father are the same person, but he said, the Father and I, we're one. We're one in character, one in essence. So we both speak the same. We both act the same. And so if you've seen one, you've seen the other. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. It tells us the Son is the image of the invisible God. Now, this is important. God is invisible. The Bible says that a spirit does not have flesh and bones. And so a spirit is invisible. God is spirit. And so God's invisible. But the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Earlier this year, they released a movie based on H.G. Wells' old story of the invisible man. Have you seen the invisible man? No. The answer to that is no, I haven't, because he's invisible. The other joke, of course, about the invisible man is the invisible man marries an invisible woman, and the kids weren't anything to look at either. But Jesus here is the image of the invisible God. The word image is the Greek word icon, E-I-K-O-N, icon. And that's where we get our English word, I-C-O-N, an icon, meaning a statue or a symbol of something that is of a spiritual nature. And so Jesus is the icon expressing the invisible God. The Greek word icon means a statue or a bust. And so there are ancient people that we would have no way of knowing what they look like, but because an icon has been made of them, a statue or a bust, we actually do know what they look like. Take Julius Caesar, for example. We're going to put a picture on the screen for you right now. This is the Arl bust of Julius Caesar. It dates back to the first century BCE. I'm not that old. I've never met Julius Caesar. I would have no way of knowing what Julius Caesar looks like, but because of the Arl bust, we can look at Julius Caesar. This is an icon that was made of him either when he was alive or shortly after he died by someone who knew exactly what Julius Caesar looked like. And so even though he was alive over 2,000 years ago, even today we know what Julius Caesar looked like by looking at this ancient icon, statue, bust, the Arl bust. And so we know what Julius Caesar looks like. It's the same with Jesus. God's invisible. We don't know what God looks like. We don't know what God is like. But we look at Jesus because he is the image, the icon of the invisible God. Colossians 2 and verse 9. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Deity here being God. All the fullness of God lives in Christ in bodily form. The word fullness there means to be filling up. In other words, Jesus' body was filled up with God. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it tells us the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. The glory of God is the divine qualities of God that shine out. And so it's like these lights that I have around me. If it wasn't for these lights, you wouldn't be able to see me. And so the glory of God is that which we can see, the invisible qualities of God that the book of Romans tells us we can see all around us in God's creation. And so the Son, Jesus Christ, is the radiance of God's glory or of his divine qualities. So what we see in the Son is this radiance. Now, the word radiance here is really interesting. In the original language, it refers to light that intensifies. And so if you've ever been up really, really early in the morning, maybe, you know, kind of 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you look outside and it's pitch black. But then, you know, depending on what time of year it is, after a little while, you look outside and you can just see a little bit of light appearing as dawn starts to break. And over the next few minutes or next hour or two, it gets lighter and lighter and lighter until the sun comes up and you see the sun in all of its glory. Well, that's what Jesus is like. According to Hebrews 1:3, the Son, Jesus Christ, is the light that intensifies. Now, you might be fairly new on your journey of following Jesus. And so for you, it's just kind of like this pre-dawn. It's just, you're starting to see something of the light of God, the love of God, the divine qualities of God. It's just things have been dark for you, but you're starting to see the light. Maybe you're hanging out with us today. You've never made the decision to follow Jesus Christ. And so for you, you still feel like you're living in this kind of blackness, this kind of a fog, but there's something on the inside of you that wants to know God. And so again, you're in that pre-dawn time as you're just starting to see maybe there's a bit of light. Maybe there's a bit of hope that's starting to spring up in your heart. At the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so the sun is the ever-increasing light that intensifies of God's divine qualities. And then it says that the sun is the exact representation of his being. The exact representation is an interesting word. In the Greek, it's character. Same English word, character. And originally it was used to talk about an engraving tool, a mold that you make a replica of something out of, or a stamp used on a coin. Now, there was a story in the Gospels where a number of Jewish religious leaders came to Jesus and they were looking for a way to trip him up because they were jealous of all the following that Jesus had. So they were looking for a way to trip Jesus up. And they asked him a question. They said, Jesus, is it right for us to pay taxes or not? Now, this was they'd thought a lot about this because really, it didn't matter what Jesus answered. They thought that this was going to be the end of Jesus. Because if Jesus said, no, don't pay taxes to Caesar, then the Romans would have come and arrested Jesus and put him in prison, okay, for rebellion against the empire. If he'd said yes, then the people that were following Jesus would have thought, oh, Jesus is in cahoots with the Romans, and they would have turned him. So I can just imagine these guys kind of rubbing their hands. We've come up with the question that's going to trip Jesus up, and we're going to be done with this guy once and for all. But Jesus' response shows an incredible amount of wisdom. He says, show me the coin used for paying the tax. And they brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image, whose character is on this coin? Whose exact representation? And they said, and whose inscription? And they said, well, it's Caesar's. Now, you'll see a picture on the screen right now. This is a coin, a denarius, from the first century Roman time. You see there the picture. This is the image of Augustus Caesar, who would have been Caesar at the same time that Jesus was walking on this planet. And so this would have been something like the coin they would have shown to Jesus. Whose image is on it? They would have said Caesar's or Augustus Caesar's. And then Jesus says, okay, so give to Caesar what belongs to him. Give to God what belongs to him. They were blown away with his answer. Jesus gave the one answer that stopped him being arrested and stopped him being walked away from by his followers. And so wonderful, wonderful truth there. And so we see there in Hebrews chapter 1:3 that Jesus is the exact representation. He is the character of God, the image of God. And so we have a number of implications from all of this. Number one, by looking at Jesus, we know what God is like. Not what we thought he was like, but we actually know what God is like. Number two, by looking at Jesus, we know what is true. And then thirdly, by looking at Jesus, we know how to live. That's why I've called this message, Look at Me. Now, I understand, you know, like for us here in Australia, when we hear Look at Me, we think of Kath and Kim. We think of Kath saying, now, come on, Kimmy, look at me, look at me, look at me. And then Kimmy finally looks across at Kath. Jesus is saying the same, but not with the Aussie accent, of course. He's saying, look at me, look at me. By looking at me, you'll know what God is like. By looking at me, you know what is true. By looking at me, you know how to live. And that takes us to our text for today. And I'll start wrapping up with this. If you look at 1 John chapter 2, and verses 1 to 6. And we'll see this wonderful truth as expressed by the Apostle John. He says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." I'll pause there for a moment. I love the way John starts here. He says, "I write this to you, my dear children, so that you will not sin. But if you do sin, it's not fatal. We have an advocate. We have someone that's pleading our cause with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins," talking about the church, but not just for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. This is a wonderful truth, church. You never lock eyes with someone for whom Jesus didn't die and rise again. So in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is granted to every person. All we need to do is accept that as the free gift of God. Look at verse 3. "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him." Here's the divine test. "Whoever claims to live in him," in Jesus, "must live as Jesus did." There's the mic drop moment. If you're a Christian, it's not just someone who says, "I'm a Christian," not just someone who says a short prayer, as important as that decision is. It's someone whose life then continues to live as Jesus lived, to continue to look at Jesus, to be like Jesus, the incarnate Word of God, the Word of God made flesh. And here's the next step from there, is recognizing that one of the analogies used in the New Testament for the church is the body of Christ. And so in the same way that Jesus is the body of God, if you like, he's fleshing out God, the church is the body of Christ. We are fleshing out Jesus. And so everyone who sees us, they need to know that Jesus is in our life, that we're trying to be like him. Doesn't mean that we're always going to succeed at that. But individually and corporately, we're living a life that is like Jesus. What is Jesus like? Well, unfailing love and faithfulness. That means in life, I will constantly lean toward others and look for ways to be kind to them. I won't exclude them. I will look for ways to live God's truth. For me, it's not just about learning facts from the Bible. I love this book. I've been reading it and studying it in depth now for over 40 years. And I'm still seeing new things in here. And it's an amazing book. But if all this book is a bunch of facts in my head, I've missed it. Because the Bible isn't truth as facts. The Bible is truth as life. It's about me. It's about you incarnating this word and living it in everyday life. And that we do this not by trying harder, but we do it all by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in each one of us. And so let me give you three applications from this message before I give people an opportunity to accept Jesus. Application number one is that every day I will look for opportunities to be kind to other people, whether I'm at work, shopping, in a car park, meeting friends and family, walking down a street, wherever I am going to live with that mindset. I am going to lean toward people and look for opportunities to be kind. Unfailing love, that's what Jesus fleshed out. Number two, I encourage you, maybe over the summer break, read the Gospels afresh, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and take a note of how Jesus lived. How did he speak to people? How did he interact with them? How did he live? How did he constantly lean into people to be kind to them? And then imitate Jesus. That's number three, imitate him. I encourage you to do that, and you will be blessed and be a blessing. Now, before I wrap up, I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In John chapter 1, it tells us that to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. How do I become a child of God? Well, I believe in Jesus and I accept Jesus, what he did through his life, death, and resurrection. I don't understand it all, but I accept it. I make that choice. And as I do that, I start to see the light dawning, and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter till I can see God very, very clearly. At that point, you will be reborn, not physical birth, but spiritual birth that comes from God, reborn into the family of God. Now, we have a team of people who would love to help you with that. Our host is putting a link in the chat feed for you now. You can click on that. That will take you to a brief form. Fill that out. That will get through to one of our team, and then they can follow up with you. We'd love to post you some information and also to send you a Bible as well and get you started on this wonderful journey of following Jesus Christ.